Welcome back, everyone. I am Cass Piancy, and I'm joined, as usual, by my partner in crime, Mr. Bennett Tomlin. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Cass?
Good. Annoyed. It's been a dumb week for everyone in the world, basically. There's just so many stupid stories going on right now. But we're focused on Moonstone Bank today, which, in a sense, is related to the ongoing drama of FTX and Alameda Research, where we've been doing some coverage in regard to the trial as well. But yeah, Moonstone Bank is a particular and very niche topic, but it deserves kind of an examination of its own. I guess I just want to get us started with the very basic facts of what Moonstone was. So Farmington Bank was established in the 1800s. This was a small community bank located in eastern Washington state. It basically served farmers that were locally in this very, very small town of Farmington. Farmington has, I think even right now, like something like 250, 300 people or something like that. Incredibly tiny little town. Farmington got bought by a Hong Kong citizen who was naturalized English, I believe. So he was an English citizen of Hong Kong. He purchased the bank in the 1990s and held on to it for 20-ish years. And then he sold it. And the gentleman that he sold it to is Jean Chalopin, who is an incredibly wealthy banker, but also the creator of the famous cartoon Inspector Gadget and a handful of other cartoons. He is the owner of a large bank in the Bahamas known as Deltek, Deltek Bank and Trust. Deltek served as the main bank for Tether and also served FTX and Alameda Research. They served a lot of cryptocurrency companies. And he purchased Farmington State Bank in 2020. But do you want to take it from there, Bennett?
Jean Chalopin went out and purchased this bank, this small bank in the United States. And this is something that Deltek executives have discussed doing before in their publications and stuff about how going to acquire this type of bank effectively gets you the banking license without some of the other headaches. Later, in 2021, Alameda Research agreed to invest $11.5 million into Moonstone Bank, owning 9.9% of it and valuing the bank at $115 million. Besides this investment into Moonstone Bank by Alameda Research, $50 million of the deposits at Moonstone, which was basically all of the deposits at Moonstone, came from FTX funds. Besides that $50 million, there was an additional $50 million loan from FTX to Deltek around the same time that Alameda Research made this $11.5 million investment. So the reason Moonstone is so important is because there was this attempt by the chairman of the Bank of Cryptocurrency in the Bahamas and the CEO of this important trading firm and exchange, Sam Bankman-Fried, to go out and attempt to gain control of this small community bank, fill it with cryptocurrency funds, and then the stated plan from like Han Vier, the chief marketing officer of the firm, was to try to push this to be like the future of online banking, serve cryptocurrency, serve cannabis, and create a new experience of online banking that people outside of the small community of Farmington could access. And so that's how we go from like this very small bank to suddenly being a much larger bank with ties to criminal behavior.
So what they did is once they had purchased this bank, once Jean Chalopin had bought Moonstone, almost immediately he made the move to transfer the regulatory oversight of Farmington to the Federal Reserve. So initially, smaller banks like this, state chartered banks, banks that aren't doing a lot of, you know, global transactions and bigger transactions, generally they prefer the regulatory purview of the Federal Depositors Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, just because I think that the regulatory guidelines for the FDIC are a little looser. I don't know if that's the right. I don't want to make the suggestion that the FDIC is not monitoring things and not doing a great job of regulating. That's not my point. But that this smaller bank and smaller banks in general choose the regulatory purview of the FDIC. He moved to have the bank regulated by the Federal Reserve. The one promise made during this regulatory transfer was that Farmington would not be altering its business massively, that it especially wouldn't be altering its business massively in the sense of taking on things like cryptocurrency or cannabis. They almost immediately went against this promise. They almost instantly changed their name from Farmington to doing business as Moonstone, as in to the moon, cryptocurrency, and stone, like stoned marijuana. So they're taking on these two businesses that federally are struggling and having a lot of issues and aren't being accepted widely by the banking system in America. And they're diving headfirst into it. What was surprising for me and many other individuals who covered this and watched as it unfolded was that the Federal Reserve didn't do anything to stop this. And I think part of this is that as the new regulator took over and started monitoring it, there was this 6 month, year long period of this transition from the FDIC regulating them to the Federal Reserve regulating them. And during that time, they could do nearly whatever they wanted.
And so I think you're kind of getting at exactly what the point of this move is. By switching from FDIC to the Federal Reserve, they started their path towards eventually getting like a Federal Reserve master account and access to like the Federal Reserve's interbank settlement systems and things like that. And they were able to take advantage of kind of the initial scrutiny when they made their like request to become Federal Reserve regulated. And as you kind of pointed towards, there was looser oversight for the period immediately after that, where they were then able to take on this investment from Alameda Research, bring in the new executive team, and relaunch with this changed business model. And I guess they hoped that by the time the Federal Reserve came back to check on them, the business model would be doing good and they could beg for forgiveness instead of asking for permission.
As they decide to get involved with cryptocurrency banking and cannabis banking, I honestly have no idea how much they helped bank the cannabis business in Washington.
I think it was a goal more than like a thing they actually did based on like the amount of deposits and what percent we know were FTX.
Right. And so that brings us to the point of very shortly thereafter this purchase and this switch of regulatory regime, we have this investment by Alameda Research worth $11.5 million and valuing the bank, which again, guys, this is an incredibly small bank with very few depositors and not a lot of money.
The bank's total assets, just to be clear, before Alameda made their investment, was like $5 million. Alameda like invested double their total assets at the time in exchange for less than 10%. I think it was less than 10% too, so they could avoid certain reporting obligations if they owned more than 10% of the bank.
That's right. For people who aren't familiar with this way, it's not just a banking thing. Any publicly traded company, for instance, a famous example of this is Elon Musk purchasing roughly 9.9% of Twitter so that he could become a shareholder, but didn't have to do any specific things to get that that board chair seat or whatever. Ultimately, he ended up buying Twitter, so it didn't matter. But similar things happen in business all the time. I think what's interesting here is that, like you said, it valued a very tiny bank, one of the top like five smallest banks in America. It valued it at $115 million, which is, I don't know, it's unheard of. But we know how Alameda Research and FTX were doing their investing, which was to dump money everywhere to whoever wanted it.
I don't think that's what this is.
You're right. This is not anywhere to whoever wanted it.
I think this is more like Hivex than Anthropic, for example.
You're right. You're 100% agree with you. But let me put it this way. This was obviously overvalued. Why was this obviously overvalued? Well, there's where we...
Is it conspiracy or stupidity?
Right. There's where we get into the interesting part. Because for some of this stuff, like we've seen in the trial, you mentioned Anthropic, where they gave them $500 million because they had an idea, which is incredible. I would love $500 million for an idea.
Well, have at least one idea first.
Oh, well, okay. I mean, that's where I'm screwed. Cascoin, the difference here is that they ended up valuing a very small U.S. bank for $115 million, and it seemed to provide them with an ability to access the U.S. banking system that they otherwise might not have. They obviously were doing banking with Signature, with Silvergate, with some other banks, but man, how great would it be if you could own part of a bank so that they couldn't kick you out as a client ever, right? And I think that you're right. That's where we start going like, this looks closer to a conspiracy than it does to simple stupidity or arrogance.
To me, it feels a lot like, and I'm going to draw two comparisons here. It feels a lot to me like if hypothetically you were a very large stablecoin who didn't have banking and you needed access to banking, so you agreed to, like, buy the house next to the CEO of a bank and then become have your executives become directors of a related entity, but not the bank itself, because you don't want that kind of disclosure. And maybe you do some investing in that other entity related to it. That, hypothetically, feels a lot like this, you know. But Alameda wasn't a stablecoin. The other one, and there's a video on this channel entitled FTX's Misadventures in Australia, where I discuss an over-the-counter trading desk that was started by Fred Shibesta and Frank Restuccia in Australia called Hivex. Hivex was this very small over-the-counter trading desk. Literally does not matter, except for what Alameda Research bought it and used it for. Fred Shibesta, the founder of Hivex, also purchased a minority stake in a local bank, Goldfields Bank, in Australia, and then hired an executive at Hivex who they put in charge of bank account brokering. At this point, Hivex starts advertising their ability to get crypto companies banked after buying the stake in the bank and hiring this new executive. And shortly after this, Sam Bankman-Fried comes in and buys it for a couple $100,000. Immediately, like days after the transaction is actually closed and you can see Sam Bankman-Fried's name come up on the register on ASICs, FTX starts advertising that Australian users can deposit to FTX by sending money to Hivex. And it was purchased by Alameda Research, Sam Bankman-Fried was a director, etc. And so I think that that is probably what the end goal of Moonstone was, is that it would be another way for them to have bank accounts in FTX's name and be reasonably assured that they weren't going to lose that rail. The story of FTX, and we talked about this in the episode I was editing today before we started recording, is that in part they could not find a reliable banking partner, and many crypto companies could not find reliable banking partners, and this leads to a variety of bad decisions these companies make. And I think it's possible to frame Hivex, Farmington, these types of purchases as these companies recognizing that they're not really going to be able to get access to these accounts in the way most people would, and deciding that the only solution left is to start throwing around money.
I just remembered, I don't know if anyone else remembers this who's listening. You probably remember, Bennett. But in 2018, Litecoin literally did the exact same thing.
Yeah, with Token Pay.
Yes, Token Pay was a part of this. WegBank AG, which I think is now known as 1031 Bank, I don't know. But they bought literally a 9.9% share. So here you go. You have a this sense in 2018, it was a foundation of a cryptocurrency purchasing part of a bank to try to ensure payment rails in Europe for their specific cryptocurrency. That's what it seems like. As opposed to in this sense where there's layers to it already. So I'm just going to go back really quick. We have a foreign bank owner of the Bahamas-based bank, Deltek. Already, I don't know if people are aware, but generally Caribbean banking is, it has problems. There's corruption problems and money laundering problems and tax evasion issues. So we have a foreign individual purchasing a U.S. community bank, and then, first of all, putting a family member in charge of kind of everything there at the bank. And then after that, going ahead and accepting a very large investment from a cryptocurrency company, overvaluing the bank. That's where we are right now. There's already two or three layers to this. But then we have Alameda absolutely doing what we're talking about. Like, they started depositing tens of millions of dollars into Moonstone Bank. I don't know if I have the exact data right now, but I think it was $80 million ultimately deposited.
It was $50 million by the end.
$50 million by the
end. But there might have been some withdrawals before that.
Okay, so $50 million deposited by the end, which, you know, in the scheme of things, it's not very much. But when you reflect on how many deposits this bank had at the beginning of this purchase, which, as you said, was close to $5 million, that's a massive jump. That is a massive, massive jump in deposits, and really fast, too. As we have the unraveling of FTX and Alameda, this transaction, which was publicly known about, it just wasn't widely, I think, reported on at the time. Basically, everyone goes, whoa, wait a second. We didn't realize how much money Alameda poured into this really tiny bank. This seems suspicious. And so a bunch of reporters, including us over at Protos, and I, and we should include some of their coverage from this in the show notes, started asking questions over to the individuals at Moonstone and to state and federal regulators. State regulators in Washington basically said, like, hey, man, you know, we did everything right. We don't even need any new tools. We didn't do anything wrong. This is all up to up to par. Like, it's good. It's up to snuff. It's fine. We reached out to the Fed. The Fed said, quote, you look at a lot of different factors. You look at all the statutory factors, financial, managerial, ownership, legal, permissibility, business plans, future prospects. Based on the information gathered, we'd move forward. The fact is, you learn new things about people after taking action. You act based on available information at the time, and that's not to say that something might not be known later. Bad things can happen even when you think all things are in order. We try to manage the situation after that. Which is to say that even in the first realizations of the public as to what was going on with Moonstone and Farmington Bank, the Federal Reserve was already kind of saying, well, we make mistakes and we try to fix them after. And that's, I guess, is what ends up happening here. So you want to describe what happens with Moonstone Bank after these revelations come to light?
Shortly after the FTX bankruptcy is announced, this relationship becomes more widely publicized and investigated. Farmington State Bank basically announces that they are transitioning back to their old business model and will not be serving cryptocurrencies or cannabis anymore. Shortly after that, the acquisition of Farmington State Bank by another Washington-based bank is announced. And a few months after that, we get a Federal Reserve cease and desist letter that describes how Farmington State Bank had made this agreement when they came under Federal Reserve jurisdiction to not change management teams without approval, to not change business plans without approval, to not significantly change depositor mix without approval. And they did those things. Farmington State Bank got, like, totally destroyed. They were already being purchased, so it didn't really matter, but, like, told to cease and desist, and all activities were immediately transferred over to the acquiring bank. That leaves us with no more Farmington State Bank, no Moonstone Bank, and this weird story of how FTX and Alameda Research were trying to buy an American community bank.
A cease and desist was issued in August, so only a couple months ago, by the Federal Reserve. We talked about this in another episode, but I assume that episode will actually come out after this. But basically, the cease and desist was given long after everybody involved in the banking industry was aware that they were going to get it. Their assets were sold off to the Bank of Eastern Oregon. That bank, the CEO, Jeff Bailey, described the cease and desist as not a surprise, and that they were going forward with purchasing these assets, these deposits, these loans, etc., from the bank regardless of that. They knew what was coming. So did the executive leadership over at Farmington Moonstone. They were fully aware that the cease and desist letter would be arriving. None of this was a surprise to anyone but the public, which again suggests that what the Federal Reserve said to Protos, and that they were like, hey, when we see a mistake, well, we go out and we try to fix it. I mean, that's exactly what happened here. They did it quietly and they did it, I guess, soundly. I don't know how many people ended up losing their jobs. Hopefully not that many. I don't know how many people. It sounds like nobody who had loans or deposits at Farmington was hurt in any way, I guess, besides Alameda Research. And even then, I presume that those funds end up going entirely back to the estate. All in all, you have what amounts to a reasonable closing up of this bank. I think what is still lingering as a question here is, like, why are we letting owners of Caribbean banks purchase US banks? Why are we letting cryptocurrency funds like Alameda Research, where they clearly weren't doing proper due diligence, they clearly weren't doing proper accounting, they clearly weren't giving truthful, honest answers about their financials to anyone? Why are they able to purchase 10% of a bank in the US? Why were these things allowed? And I don't know if we are going to get an answer to that. It's just kind of the way it is.
I think we've gotten half an answer already, right? Which is the Federal Reserve telling you, listen, this mostly is allowed. They did some things that weren't allowed, and then we went out and tried to undo the things that they weren't allowed to do in the first place. And it's something we've talked about in a lot of our discussions of regulators, where they are not intensely investigating most claims the people they regulate make, and are primarily interested in trying to kind of nudge these companies onto the right path and document what went wrong afterwards. The other wrinkle that makes this really hard for me to kind of understand is a senior vice president at Deltek that you talked about way back in 2019. Robin Trahan. And what was interesting about Robin Trahan is that he was working for this Bahamian company, but he was based in my neck of the woods out of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And a lot of his writing focused on this process of these international groups going out and buying small community and rural banks in the United States. And this was like explicitly one of the services he advertised on his website, that he would make introductions between these various international finance entities and these banks in the United States to facilitate their eventual purchase. And so this is something that Deltek did not start doing in 2020 with the purchase of Farmington State Bank.
Right.
This is not a new business they really like expanded into when Alameda Research gave them $60 million. This is something that has been part and parcel of Deltek's business for years. And it's not one they mention on any of their websites, interestingly enough. But it seems, for some reason, predating FTX and Alameda Research's involvement in this specific bank, Deltek has had a need for small banks in the United States. And I would love, and I worry I'll never get, a truly good understanding of why that is.
I mean, I think you have a good understanding. I think if you're, what you're suggesting is you wish that you could confirm provably your understanding of why they're doing this. And I agree with you. Like, I think they do this specifically because these kind of things are very difficult to prove, if not impossible. The way you could prove it would be that you would need someone inside the bank itself to come tell you that that was what was going on and prove it with data that they had taken from the bank. All of that sounds illegal. All of that sounds like you were breaking many Bank Secrecy Act rules. Ideally, you would have this person seek out a regulator and either do whistleblower protection or, you know, something. I don't know. I mean, this is where you go, shouldn't we have some sort of legal requirements and shouldn't regulators be looking at this and going, well, that's weird. I guess I'm saying you don't have to be a genius to go, this is weird. And you'd hope that financial regulators would see it similarly, but okay. If they're not going to see it that way, there's not a lot that we can do about it besides talk about it and hopefully talk about it in such a way that the public perceives it similarly and understands it similarly. I don't know how many banks Deltek, or for that matter, any other number of Bahamian, Cayman Islands, BVI, whatever, based banks. I don't know how many of these own a small portion or wholly small banks or other types of banking structures in the United States. Probably plenty of them. Is that a reason for all of them to be shunned and viewed under a microscope? Probably not. But should they get more scrutiny than perhaps an average Joe, American Joe, going out and trying to purchase a bank? Maybe. This isn't about where you're from. This isn't about the color of your skin. It is about being a foreign national and a bank owner in another area of the world and going, why do you need to buy more banks in the US? And asking that question with intention, because it is odd to be buying these banks, small banks in particular, when you're like Deltek is not, it's not big in terms of banks throughout the world.
Global finance, yeah.
But it is not a small bank. It was significantly larger at the time than Farmington could ever pray to be. So the idea that they would be interested in them at all is odd. Anything else you want to add?
I think it's just helpful to see how desperate Deltek, FTX, and Alameda Research were to maintain access to U.S. banking and U.S. dollar rails. That's the moral of the story here.
Yep. It'd be great if you guys could leave a like or a review or whatever, subscribe to the channel. If you are interested in supporting us in other ways outside of just that, the Castcoin Foundation did just purchase 9.9% of Chase Bank, and we are hoping that we can utilize that ownership to start being able to access the U.S. banking system again. I know it has been a long struggle for Castcoin to have access to the U.S. banking system, but with this purchase, I'm hoping to bring a fiat off-ramp to Castcoin users once again.
Worst comes to worst, I'm in talks with three European banks, and I'm sure anywhere from 3 months to 3 years, one of those will be a useful relationship.
And even if not 3 years, 10 years, 15 years, just remember, guys, hold.